You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Praying for the end of time so I can end my time with you.
Meatloaf Monday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Yum.
Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show, firing off on a Meatloaf Monday. Get your week started off right. A little bit of some meatloaf heading right in. We are live, of course, from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast nationwide, and we're worldwide via the Chiefs Sports Network app. Download it for free. Listen for free. All of our content ends up there. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, broadcasting through the orange fog and melty snow of the upstate of South Carolina. And he is, of course, JC Sherbert, coming in live from points unknown, undoubtedly cold since it is everywhere around here. This kick this thing off, JC. We started another week with my whole family in the house for two straight days. They've already called for tomorrow as well. They just went ahead and said, well, we've got two more e-learning days. Why don't we just burn them up now?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I got a sinus. I started before we did the show Friday. If you noticed, I was going in and out of the picture here, if you're watching on video and not listening. And the reason was I was having to wipe my nose a little bit. And so that happened the whole freaking weekend. And I'm about at half speed today. Got up, was able to put out coffee today. Coffee ended up being pretty good. Talked a lot about D tackles. Just as far as newcomers, returners, folks like that, a breakdown. Talked a little bit about offensive line recruiting for 2027. South Carolina did manage to get some work done with the junior day this weekend. So I thought that was pretty cool. And, I expected them to cancel the whole thing. But apparently they got some folks in that were local, and Nate Carson from Irmo, and then the new guy, Ty Johnson from Lucy Beckham down in Bradford's neck of the woods in Mount Pleasant, picked up an offer from the Gamecocks. Both of those are offensive linemen. And so things are going pretty well. A lot of younger guys too. So apparently basketball was a big topic, first part of it. And I said my piece, and I do want to clarify. I'm not trying to, it's not like when Carolina was playing for the NIT championship, I didn't want them to win, right? Or that I was, anytime you can put anything in the trophy case, when most years you have nothing, I think that's a good thing. It was just horribly frustrating to me. And this is part of the reason why I wasn't necessarily, especially after the Final Four year where, Frank Martin had a couple of years where, they kind of got surprised by Felder leaving the program and by PJ Dozier going pro after the Final Four, and they slipped. And then the next year started off really bad, but actually went 11-7 in the SEC. That's one of the reasons why I wasn't at that point ready to get off that bandwagon, Phil, because none of the other coaches that have coached here figured out how to win in the SEC.
Right.
Eddie Vogler had two good years and then went right back to the bottom and then bounced back toward the. So it is a, it has been a tough go of it in this league. And the problem is this league hadn't been that good.
Right.
In many instances, I mean, the league being bad cost Carolina an NCAA tournament twice. Once Bud and Horn's first year when they won the division, and the next was the Frank year where they got screwed. I think I still think they got screwed. But, I mean, it's just you got to figure it out. That's one of the reasons why I thought, hey, Paris is going to work out pretty well because in year two, nobody in year two taking this job has ever had any kind of season like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended in the first round. It was kind of a bad bad deal. But, you know, you gotta be consistent. And the problem that you have now is last season, I think expectations were obviously higher than what they did. Because you went and you got Nick Pringle in, you know, there was a concern about the guards. And they just kind of got swallowed up by a perfect storm. And, you know, it just wasn't a basketball team that was going to be able to win that often in the SEC. Still, you had some games where it could have gone either way and you could have had some notched wins. Yeah, this year there's a lot more missing than just point guard. You can tell. It's like it's a team that either has to shoot lights out or they're not going to win. And, you know, they've given up 95 and 92 points on their home court the last two games. This thing could spiral pretty badly. And at that point, you have to make a decision because you can't have a body of work where it's 11 and 21, yes, 26 and 8, tied the record, coach of the year, all that, but then 12 and 20 and then, you know, what are they right now? 11 and 11, you know, 13 and 19, whatever. I don't know how many games they're going to win.
Right.
Somebody tell me, I mean, I'm sure there's some winnable ones left on the schedule, but I just don't know who right now, because the problem you're going to run into, Phil, is everybody's going to be fighting for, you know, tournament play, postseason play. They're going to need to beat you. You know, starting with Texas this weekend, you know, Missouri's still in the hunt at 5-4 in the conference. I mean, Missouri's right there in the mix. LSU was kind of maybe Mississippi State by the time you play them. This is one of the few years Carolina does not play Mississippi State twice. That's a home game, so I'd circle that one. Missouri's at home, but at Alabama, you got to go back and play that bunch from Florida. Kentucky is hit or miss. At Georgia, who's very good. You know, Ole Miss at the end of the year? Yeah, maybe. So maybe two more. That would double the win total from last season, but I just don't know the body of work-wise, you know, because there's now a track record of for 2 years in a row, you couldn't get your roster right. Now, there's going to be a lot of talk about NIL money. I just don't know that. I mean, maybe other schools. I don't know, but we'll just have to see what happens. I don't want to get into all that right now. But anyways, yeah. A lot of big picture talk. TD said, "I'm happy it's Meatloaf Monday." Yes, and this is the ITG chat box, by the way. When we get back after the first break, which Phil, we're going to take that in about 5 minutes.
That's what I figured. Yeah,
you know. When we get back, I have some historical facts about Meatloaf the food I'd like to share. It's got quite a history.
I mean, yeah.
It goes back to ancient times.
Nice.
Maybe not ancient. Maybe Roman Empire.
Yeah.
But they made it a little different. It kind of turned my stomach to think about. But nevertheless, the version we have here in America kind of made its way up from Rome, and it's kind of different variations. But, Hell Rooster says we can blame Tanner for this basketball and baseball fiasco. You can blame him for the hires. I don't know that you can hang the lack of success for South Carolina basketball solely around Ray Tanner. I don't know who in that sport they were going to hire. And I think with this job, you have to make a fan, not only a good hire, you have to make a great hire. That knows how to win there, but even some very good coaches have come here and failed in that sport. I think it takes a total recommitment and more better alignment and just to say, hey, look, we're going to be good at basketball. are competitive, you know. And I think to get to competitive, you have to decide you're going to be good. But I don't think, Hell Rooster, there's any way that you can say that right now this is some fantastic hire. I think that Lamont Paris is a good basketball coach. I think in certain situations, he would win. Maybe the SEC isn't a good fit for him. Maybe there's been roster mistakes. But, you know, Jimmy says, we've had bad ADs. I hope our new AD is better at getting coaches. Well, yeah, you have to – ADs do more than just get coaches. Lots of them make bad hires. But, yeah, you can only hope. Jimmy said, I heard our board of trustees was the problem. They don't want to get off money. That's not true, especially now. Now I will say this with basketball specifically, have there been instances through the years where that particular board has put their thumb on the scales of coaching searches? Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, but that's about it. Hell Rooster's been to Jonesboro. Oh, Hell brings up a good point about bad NFL teams. Mike's already in Atlanta. He does go to Falcons games. So let's assign him the Dirty Birds.
That's right. We'll give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there we go. Jimmy's a Commanders fan. Sorry, dude. So Jimmy says, we could go get Mark Fox and win more games than we are winning now. Yeah. I looked up Mark Fox. Since he left Georgia, things have not been going well, to say the least. He was very good at Nevada, right? And he gave Carolina some problems when he was in Georgia. Like that team, like he's the reason they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament that year. So he beat him three times. Excellent coach. Just couldn't quite get Georgia over the hump, you know, and Mike White finally got him to the tournament last year, and they're playing a different style this year. Man, he was at Georgia a long time, 9 years, 163, 133, went to two NCAAs, three NITs during that time. So he sat out 1 year and then got the Cal job, and things started circling the drain. And they were in the Pac-12. This is before they went to the ACC, 14 and 18. 7-11 in the Pac-12. Now, the pandemic year, I won't hold against anybody, but 9-20, 3-17 in the Pac-12. Oh, the next year, the Pac-12 went to 20 conference games, 12-20, 5-15 in the Pac-12. And then the crown jewel, 3-29 in 2022-23, and 2-18 in the Pac-12. That's a record of – I've never seen a basketball coach at the major college level have this kind of record, Phil. 38-87.
Wow. Wow.
And 17-61 in the Pac-12. What happened, Mark Fox?
I don't know, but my man must be one hell of an interview.
Yeah. Jimmy says, I hope they give our AD the money to go get a coach. Yeah, of course. There's nothing wrong with that. Jimmy says, still say our players aren't that bad. We just got poor coaching. That's just not true. I mean, you can ask any basketball person about South Carolina's players. Now, is that part of coaching to assemble a roster? Yeah. I mean, these guys are basically, if they're not shooting well, which they don't most of the time, they're not competing, you know? So I don't know. I'd like Jimmy, you know, you've said this a couple of times. So I want to know, just kind of let me know, because I'm not debating or arguing. I'd like to know from your standpoint what he's doing coaching wise that's so bad. You know, like what kind of, is it style? Is it what's he doing bad? Now, not talking about roster construction, that is part of coaching, but in the games, how is Lamont Paris costing this team? So Jay Free said, I think we blame Channer for the contracts. That's another thing I'm going to kind of take exception with, because none of the contracts anybody's given out around here have been anything out of the ordinary in the SEC. And every other coach, every other AD is going to probably do a little bit. I mean, look, dude, South Carolina's been fortunate with buyouts. The buyout thing is a myth, right? It's a myth that people that don't want to change tell you because they say, though, there's not the money. It's a convenient excuse. All right, the buyouts are standard. South Carolina hadn't had to pay but one buyout. And that was for a – and they did it in the middle of a pandemic, and it was only for $12 million in 30 years.
And we're able to negotiate a payment plan.
And yeah, negotiated it down. So, but Hell Rooster says, you have to make a great hire. Yes. Was Lamont even close to being a great, potentially a great hire? No. After year two, I thought it could be a hire that could work out and be a fit. So, he said his record at Chattanooga was bad. I sort of like guys that win consistently, just to be honest, but he had a really good record his last year. And it, with mid-majors, you know, I don't know that you can hold once on a buzzer beater against him, but it was a Darren Horns type of record to me. Mm. So TD Nell says, reminds me of what Virginia Tech did with football with James Franklin. They ponied up money for football, committed to getting back to being good again. Same needs to happen to Carolina basketball. Yeah, but South Carolina basketball hasn't been as good as Virginia Tech football in a long, long time. So players just stand there. Jimmy said they look like a high school team, out of place, and look like they don't know what they are doing. That's them. I mean, I agree they look like a high school team.
Yeah.
So Jimmy says, you don't think for $8 to $10 million we could get Tommy Lloyd? No, nobody in their right mind is leaving Arizona. Number one, Arizona could probably get that together. They have financial problems. Nobody's leaving Arizona for South Carolina in college basketball. That's what a lot of you don't understand about this job. It's not. And look, I'm going to get back to that $8 to $10 million because I noticed you said that. So I looked some things up about the reality of college basketball salaries. South Carolina shouldn't have to pay $8 million a year. And all that's going to happen is if you go offer Tommy Lloyd that, Arizona's going to find the money and match it. And you're just pissing $8 million to the wind, like somebody take my $8 million. And that's more embarrassing than losing the game sometimes. You know, because you're not going to land on anybody good. You're going to be like the guy at LSU that ended up with Brian Kelly. He goes big game hunting and, you know, thought he's going to shoot an elephant. And ended up with a hippopotamus that bit him in the butt. You know, hippos kill people.
They're dangerous. They're like one of the most dangerous animals in Africa, right?
But we'll talk some basketball salaries when we get back because I have it written down. Because you mentioned $8 to $10 million. All that good stuff. So I want to talk about that. Gonna have some meatloaf history. Keep it on in the ITG chat box. What do they need to do to fix basketball? The suggestion box is open, folks.
The suggestion box.
there's just two things I'll push back on. Number one, you know, the notion that this is not a player thing. And then number two, the contract stuff. People that have no business talking about that and complaining about it, you've been told that by people. People repeat it. It's an excuse to me, because if you look around at the rest of everybody else, Carolina's sitting beautifully when it comes to buyouts. Gus Malzahn just retired from coaching, not because of what UCF or Florida State paid him. It's because of what Auburn stupidly paid the guy. All right, let's get, we'll be right back, folks.
You're good.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy. You're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
Now back to Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Meatloaf Monday.
Like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here on a Meatloaf Monday. We got some meatloaf facts dating back. What? You said the Roman Empire, right?
Yeah. So
okay. Anywhere between, you know, a couple thousand years, two bands of years.
So meatloaf has its roots tracing back to the 5th century Roman cookbook, Apicius. Apicius, featured minced meat, fruit, and wine, often using brains or other parts. That's disgusting. Brought to America by European immigrants, particularly Germans, that settled in Pennsylvania as scrapple. What is scrapple? I have it written down in my notes as WTF.
What is scrapple?
Like parts. Oh, yeah. It's like sausage, but like other parts of the hog, you know?
Right. Rooted.
That was scrapple, became a staple in the late 19th century when the meat grinder was invented. In the 19th century, it was served as a breakfast dish, became a way to utilize scraps of meats, nuts, and fillers. That's probably where we got sausage and bacon from. You know, those aren't necessarily always made out of the best cuts of meat. During the Depression, it gained massive popularity as a cost-effective way to stretch smaller amounts of protein to feed families. Yeah, because you kind of put the breadcrumbs or whatever in during World War II. It remained a staple during rationing with Vitality Loaf recipes promoting maximum nutrition. And during the 50s, it solidified its place in American culture, featured in diner food, TV dinners, and modernizing with global flavors, a global meatloaf. Wow. Meatloaf is highly customizable, allowing for various fillers. You can oats. Can't imagine putting oatmeal in a like oats in a crackers. Yes. Breadcrumbs. Yes. Toppings, ketchup or gravy. Yes. I kind of like either ketchup or a thin barbecue sauce. Yeah, it evolved from a necessity budget friendly dish though. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like, my grandmother used to put oats in hers. I was never the biggest fan of my grandmother's meatloaf. I much prefer my wife's family's meatloaf recipe.
I bet that's good.
It is. It's breadcrumbs instead. Yeah, that's the kind of the binding agent, if you will. But yeah, I don't know. Of course, my grandmother was, I don't know, her cooking was a little bland at times.
Oh.
That's okay. It happens.
Every now and then I'll meet somebody whose grandma's cooking it isn't fantastic. Yeah. Most of the time in the South, it's fantastic, but you know.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were some things she made that were fantastic, right? But then others just, you know, missed the mark. Yeah. All recipes.
Jimmy's mom made a killer meatloaf. Scrapple nice. His lips and Krager says Scrapple his lips and buttholes. I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah.
So Bobby, by the way, my man Bobby agrees with the player thing, the player versus coaching thing. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to think. They do stand around an awful lot, and that's not at all how Lamont Paris coaches the team to play offense.
Right.
I know for a fact he is not coaching them to play defense the way they do. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just say that it's all on coaching. If you're
players have to go and play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, unless he's changed his philosophy and this is what he wants it to look like, which I highly doubt, then it's not necessarily on him.
Now, if you want to talk about whose responsibility is it to get players in here that can compete, yes. I mean, I'm not sitting here advocating for anything. I'm not sitting here going, well, yeah, I just needs another year or go hire a GM and do this. No, I don't think you can lose this much and people can. I mean, Gamecock Nation's only got so many rallies in them, right, Phil?
Yeah.
I mean, you're young, and let's say you go to a NASCAR race or a concert festival. So you do a little bit of morning drinking. You get up and take your first beer, and people are cooking Scrapple, a Scrapple omelet, if you will.
Just frying up some Scrapple, right? That's right.
First act comes on, and you're a few in, and then blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, man, that Scrapple the Scrapple and natural light that I've been drinking gets to me a little bit, so I may get a little sick. But then I rally. By the time the 2 o'clock act, I'm ready to go again, sipping, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's cooking some burgers. I may eat a rib or something. And then, oh, man, about 4 o'clock, I'm going to need a nap. Then guess what? I get back up 6, 7, because the main act is coming on. And I rally again. And I may rally another time about 9, maybe even 11 in my younger days. But by God, I'm not rallying at 2 a.m. And it's almost 2 a.m. I mean, see, how many more times you're going to ask everybody to rally, you know, without some kind of hope? I mean, this was the year to turn it. And I don't know, nobody was predicting them to go to the big dance or anything like that, but they're supposed to be improved. And you know what's crazy? Like, you think about those preseason game against NC State and kind of how they looked early. And it wasn't just that they were playing bad teams or teams that they were playing different. They were moving without the ball. They were making shots. It was, I mean, the big guys don't even play anymore.
Right.
They're
so bad they don't even log very many minutes. I mean, and I can't say, JC, that I disagree with that.
No.
From what we've seen out of them, I'm like, they don't need to be on the floor.
Butler and Asondico did not even play against LSU. Simeon got 5 minutes. Walker played 20. So it's like full youth movement.
Yeah. I mean, and perhaps that's the best combination for this team. But I mean, when you look at Butler and Asondico, I do not see SEC caliber players in either of those two players, period. It just is what it is. Now, you can do more with less, and perhaps that's where things are coming up short, right? I don't know, because it's way too early to really kind of look back on this full body of work this season specifically to say that's what's happening. But you know, somebody who can do more with less is exactly the kind of coach that Carolina needs, especially when it comes to basketball. Because here's the, you're not going to attract, nor should you pay $8 million for a head basketball coach at South Carolina. It's not that you can't come up with the money. It's not that you shouldn't. It's just that this program historically is so far behind the others in not only this region of the country, but within the conference itself, that you're already fighting an uphill battle and could probably justify overpaying for talent to come. But you don't need to blow an entire budget on an $8 to $10 million basketball coach, because that's going to be just rolling the dice here at Carolina. It doesn't matter who the name is. You're rolling the dice. So it, there needs to be a balance. And this is a prove it program. Like you, I would say you have to prove it, even if it were Calipari coming in. Not that I would advocate paying him to come here, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And $8 million. I mean, look, who makes $8 million? Bill Self, 8.8. But Bill Self, people don't realize Bill Self is an Oklahoma State graduate, and he's flirted with that job a couple of times, and they've kept him at Kansas. John Calipari makes $8 million. Nobody else is even at $8 million, according to the latest. Maybe there's some that have gotten up there. Hurley, 7.77. Tom Izzo, 6.1. Mick Cronin, 6.1. Bruce Pearl was at 5.95 after he'd gotten to two Final Fours at freaking Auburn. Rick Barnes, 5.8. Remember, Rick Barnes flirted a little bit with the UCLA job that went to Mick Cronin. Nate Oates, as good as he's been, 5.01. And that's with people talking about North Carolina hiring and stuff. So that's a little high. Now that said, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go. And one, Jimmy, who again, his mom makes a killer meatloaf and used oats in hers. So there you go. Maybe I'll try that. Josh Schertz, Schertz, Florida Atlantic graduate, does have ties to the Carolinas, was an associate head coach at Queens College in Charlotte and at High Point. Lincoln Memorial, that was where he kind of, that's in Tennessee, a D2 school. He kind of cut his teeth there. He was at Lincoln Memorial from 08-09 till the pandemic year. This dude went 337-69 at Lincoln Memorial. Never won the whole thing. But that's pretty good. That's a Lincoln Memorial is in some place in Tennessee, Harrogate, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I have no earthly idea where that is. It's adjacent to Cumberland Gap National Park. So sort of over, it's kind of going up towards, going between Knoxville and Lexington. I've probably been through there. So he got the Indiana State job, turned them around. They won 32 games in 2003-04 and were the NIT runner-up. Best season I think they've had since Larry Bird was there. Now he's the head coach at the University of St. Louis, and the Billikens in the A-10 are 21-1 and 9-0. So, yeah, this is the type of guy. And you know what? And here's the difference. Here's what I'm – and this is – when Lamont Paris was hired, I said this. So I'm not saying anything you don't know. I'll admit – I was all for it working out. I was like, well, I was probably wrong about that. Maybe Chattanooga just had some problems and it was a slow build. And he's, you know, if he can go find guys like this out of the portal that can play, great. But that hadn't happened the last 2 years. You know, I'm kind of always leery of guys in basketball that have had like the one or two big years. Now there's different levels of that, Phil. The guy that comes in and loses 20-plus games his first 2 years, right? But then the next year they win 20-something and make the big dance, and the next year they're winning conference titles and going deep into the tournament. I'm taking that guy because his trajectory is you know, he just had a bad situation. It took him a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if his overall record isn't all that great, some people are going to look at the overall record and complain. Not I. It's the guy that's kind of up and down, and then he peaks and gets out like Darren Horn. Darren Horn had a better mid-major job than Lamont Paris did. I mean, Western Kentucky's a much mid-major job than Chattanooga, although Chattanooga is quite good. I mean, Darren Horn did not make the NCAA tournament till his last year. Then they had Drake. For some reason, Drake was a 5 seed. And they beat Drake in the first round. And then the opposite team, the University of San Diego, was the 13 seed, and they beat the 4. So they beat San Diego. So they got to the Sweet 16 and got blown out, and Carolina hired him. And he did, you know, he's gotten back to the tournament once at Northern Kentucky, and he's done a pretty good job there. Some guys may just be mid-major coaches. I mean, that's the gamble you take. But this guy, like these guys like Josh Schertz, I mean, this guy, I love guys that have freaking not backed down from a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And this guy is like Lincoln Memorial. Their mascot's the Rail Splitters, dude. 11 straight 20-win seasons, 10 NCAA. I mean, I'd like to see kind of maybe how successful Lincoln Memorial basketball has a history of being great. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they anyway, that's the deal there. He won there for years, got a break by getting Indiana State, and you know, you lose 20 your first season, but then you win 23 and then 32. That's saying something. Won immediately and got to the NIT at St. Louis in his first year, and they're 21-1 this season. So that's not bad, dude. 21-1 is stout.
Yeah. I mean, that's
he replaced Travis Ford at St. Louis. So. But anyway, we'll see how it all works out. But he's got some ties to the area. You know, you look at St. Louis's roster's got, they have 2 guys from North Carolina. And one guy his son, Jaden Schertz, on the team at St. Louis. So we'll see what happens. That's a good guy. I'd like to hear more names. What about Anthony Grant? Daryl says, is he still winning at Dayton? Jimmy says Dayton's not good. I'll look that up. Anthony Grant's a good coach. I'm surprised he hadn't left Dayton, but Dayton's a solid job. Meatloaf Monday will roll on. After this, I want to tell you about Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com. They're closed today at the Village at Sand Hill and out in Lexington, brick and mortar stores, but you can get on the World Wide Web and order their gear, home of the original Beat sticker, which I used to think was not good luck. I've evolved in my thinking, though. I love it now. So, That's Gamecock Traditions. They have sales. They have lots of good stuff that you can check out. Please follow them on social media. It's not your normal clothing store social media follow. It's creative. A lot of good content there. We'll be back. Second hour of a Monday, Meatloaf Monday episode of the show after this.
New year, right? Let the procrastination begin. You've done it before. Join the gym. Go for a couple of weeks, and then it's over. So here's our solution. Bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start where you want to start. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Have a healthy new year. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia.
If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to the banks of Winya Bay, to beautiful Georgetown. Visit the Rice Museum the next time you stroll Front Street. We love you, Georgetown.
Hey, Georgetown, this is your Lowcountry lawyer and friend, Mason West at the West Law Firm. We love our folks in Georgetown just like we do all across the state of South Carolina. And if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, we're here to help. Call us at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolls on here into the second hour of the show here on a Meatloaf Monday. Phil, Mad Dog Mullinax, JC Sherbert in with you, talking some Gamecocks. Been looking at some hoops, talking some coaching, and, you know, JC just kind of feeling things out. Not that we are advocating for anything on this side of things, but halfway through another SEC slate, and Carolina finds themselves with only two wins at the halfway mark of the conference schedule for men's basketball. So, you know, there's going to be all kinds of questions. I know there's a lot of negativity from without. It's wondering how all that's being taken within, right? I mean, you can't avoid hearing the things, right? You can't just not read the newspaper, not like it used to be. Every time you pick your phone up, somebody's talking about how crappy you are.
You down. And then there's people that are not happy with it. There's apathy that's set in, because
right
when you lose that much over time, the people that are really going to be upset about it, like the masses, are just going to stop caring. And then the problem is the diehards that really, really want you to win every game and live and die no matter what the record is, they start to turn against you. So it's just it's just buzz. So Josh Schertz, I think Schertz, S-C-H-E-R-T-Z, St. Louis's head coach. Okay, so his coaching style is interesting. It's and look, had you asked me last year, had they fired Lamont Paris and had they're going to hire Bucky McMillan from Samford, I would have said great. Because it's different. I mean, what Lamont does is different too. I mean, you don't have that, and I've said this before, that Paris does. He does a lot of concepts. He's not calling plays. Like some basketball coaches are like football coaches, some are not. Schertz definitely is not a play caller. It's conceptual offense. 1 through 4 is positionless, basically. And then the 5, they'll have one big that they run it through. And it works. And they, Paris really, his stuff hasn't led to a bunch of scoring outbursts. Well, this year's team, probably because they can't shoot it well or consistently enough. But, Lamont kind of comes from the old school, pack line defense, I don't know if you call it pack line defense, but the Wisconsin style, basically, which lends itself sometimes to more lower scoring games. Not that they can't ever high score games, but that's kind of this thing that Josh Schertz does is high scoring. And they score in the 80s, 90s. They've got it going on. Now, here's the problem. The secret's probably out about him. And so everybody with an opening, I mean, like I said, they're 21-1. The Atlantic 10 is not an easy league either. I mean, you got so a lot of schools care about basketball and they've got money. So I don't know, but yeah, these guys score. Gosh, you're looking down 108, 109, 78, 91, 71. Their one loss was against Stanford by 1 point. Now, they hadn't played anybody this year all that good. Loyola, Central Michigan, Bethune-Cookman, Principia College, a D3 school. But they, you know, St. Joe's, VCU, maybe the A-10's down. I don't know, but they did beat Dayton, as was mentioned, pretty bad, 102-71. And so they're rolling right now. They're rolling right now. But, yeah, they don't have, like, a big necessarily a big signature upset win over a high major school this year. And they lost the one Stanford. But Stanford beat North Carolina the other night.
Yeah.
My friend that's a big North Carolina fan was ashamed. You know? So, but, yeah, so they lost to my wife's Redbirds team, St. Louis did, last year. Right. I'm looking to see if there's any. Lost to Wofford at home last year. Lost to Wichita State by 5. They don't play that many high major teams. So maybe they're a function of schedule. Who knows? Who knows? 21-1, I'll take it. And I like the concept. And, you know, and I like the Bucky McMillan thing too. And at A&M, you know, they kind of got off to a rough start, Phil, but they're rocking and rolling now.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, it could be something different. I like the whole concept of something different. And like you said, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I was kind of, you know, pumped about seeing what Lamont Paris could do. And you give him the first year, okay, I don't know, it's kind of a, you know, it is what it is. Second year, you go to the tournament.
Yeah.
Last year, you just didn't put it together, but realize that, A, you're up against an historic conference at that point and did not have enough ammunition dollars-wise to compete. And now this year it's like, okay, well, are we continuing to look for excuses now, or maybe we've got a body of work enough to figure out something, you know, maybe this is where we went wrong here, there. I mean, obviously evaluations weren't exactly as they had planned. And whose shoulders do that fall on? Well, I mean, obviously the guy at the top of the program. So,
yeah,
it just, I hate it because I think Lamont's an awesome dude and it's just not working right now. He's got to get it. He's got 9 games to get it turned around enough to kind of sell people, but let's hope for his sake it's not too far gone, JC.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's too far gone. It feels that way. I like the coach at Utah State quite a bit. Man, this is a guy, you know, he's 42-11 out there. They're 24th in the net. Jared Calhoun, he played at Cleveland State. He's an Ohio guy, so it would be another Ohio coach, 42-11. So there's a lot of guys out there like this, or Gerard Calhoun, my bad. Utah State's always producing good basketball coaches for whatever reason as well. So he would be a good coach to go get. Now, you could also go the other direction. I mean, you know, could you find, you know, would there be a situation where you could find your Rick Barnes? You know, Rick Barnes has turned out, I mean, it was kind of met with a ho-hum attitude at Tennessee. Oh, yeah, well, it's Rick Barnes. He got fired from Texas, and he's been consistently good. He'll get you to the Sweet 16. I mean, and out-coach people doing it. You know, can you find a guy like that? Would that be somebody that pops up? You know, like I mentioned, Mick Cronin makes a lot of money earlier. He's consistently griping about being in the Big Ten. Consistently. If South Carolina came up with a wow package, would he take the challenge? I mean, he probably knows how bad of a job it is. Like, no, thanks. I'll just stay out here and suffer.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We'll just deal with logistics.
Yeah, but you know, Krager mentions not being able to guard a ball screen's embarrassing regardless of the height of the team. Coach them out to defend it, they haven't gotten better. True. Daryl said LSU scored on that same play 100 times. Yeah, that's crazy. Quentin asked about Rick Pitino. I think he's at his last job. And I think, frankly, he had a team that could have gone further last year. And he runs into his old nemesis, Al, and they beat him. I was listening to that game, and I hated it. I mean, not that I love Arkansas fans, man. I mean, they're really good people and deserve winning. And I don't hate Calipari, but I'm like a Pitino. I like Rick Pitino, and I like St. John's. Man, I was just sad because I mean, also I stupidly picked St. John's to win the whole thing. TD says the SEC only has four teams in the AP top 25. Last year, it seemed every team but Carolina and LSU were ranked. Yep. Now I'll keep in mind, as worthless as the AP football poll is, the basketball poll is even worse. Let's look at the net though. The net, as far as SEC goes, yeah, there's nobody in the top 11 in the net. Florida's 12th, Vanderbilt's 13th. And then you got a Tennessee's 21st, Bama 22nd, Arkansas 23rd, Kentucky's 28th, Auburn 29th. Go on down, A&M and Georgia 35th and 36th. Texas is 39th in the net. So a lot of teams jumbled up in there. And I think it was SEC Sunday night. They were talking about how, a lot like in football, there's not a dominant team. There's a lot of good teams in the SEC. Heck, LSU's 57th in the net. That's interesting. Where are the Gamecocks? Missouri 70th, Ole Miss 79th, Oklahoma 80th. Oh, boy, the Gamecocks are down there, 105th. Behind,
losing ground.
Northern Illinois and Wyoming. So, I don't know. Shoot. But so will there be a Rick Barnes kind of hire? Crager asked what Andy Kennedy's doing. Is he still at UAB or did he get fired? Let me look. Andy Kennedy, he's the head coach at UAB still. Andy Kennedy, 137 and 58 at UAB. He's been in 1, 2, 3, 4. Been in the postseason 4 out of 5 years. Been to the NCAAs twice, the NIT twice. Oh, 22 wins his first year. This year, they're not as good. They're 12-8 overall, 3-4 in Conference USA or the American. But he's done pretty well at UAB. He did pretty well at Ole Miss, only 1 or 2 NCAA tournaments in however many years. But, Andy Kennedy, man, you know, he's a guy that his name has come up when it's been open before. So I don't know, Chris Mack at College of Charleston, Phil.
Yeah.
There's a guy Ben was talking about. I mean, Chris Mack at College of Charleston, you know, this guy coached for Skip Prosser at Xavier. He was 215 and 97 at Xavier. He was good at Louisville. They slipped pandemic year and then they started poorly. The next year, and he was out all of a sudden. I mean, first couple of years, NCAA tournament. The next year, 24 wins, 15 ACC wins. And at Charleston, 24-9 overall, 13-5 his first year. And this year looks like they're off to a pretty good start in the Coastal Athletic Association. So, you know, maybe that's a guy that comes up. The UNC Wilmington coach, whose name I cannot pronounce. Let's just look. Let's see if I got Takeo Siddle. Takeo was he's a local Gardner Webb. He's from Eden, North Carolina. Was an assistant under Keats at NC State and is 125 and 50 as the head coach at UNC Wilmington. They're rocking and rolling this year too. 27-8 overall, 14-4. In the league last year, made the NCAA tournament, and this year, 19-3 overall, 8-1. So, if you're going the mid-major route, there are local guys. Bob Ritchie at Furman too. Bob's been there for a while.
Yeah.
So, TD Null says with the news, Phil Pott may be out for the year. My hopes for baseball are dwindling mighty fast. I wanted to talk about baseball real quick. You know, By the way, Jimmy said, might need to go to the NBA like BYU did. No. I'm against that. Because guess who else did that? Vanderbilt. Then they hired the guy that was at James Madison that used to be at College of Charleston, and they're in the top 15. It's like NFL. It does not translate. Does not translate.
I would like to see a head coach, assuming that a move is made, come in that has had previous head coaching experience within the state of South Carolina. That means they have already built the relationships needed to compete at a high level, at least on the recruiting trail. And I think that sets them up nicer than just going out and grabbing a big name, you know.
Yeah, I'll take a big name, though, at this point, Phil. I mean, I don't, you know, I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. And, you know, I think Bob Ritchie at Furman is still a guy to keep an eye on. I mean, you know, he was up for the job last time. Is very familiar with the state. He just keeps winning at Furman. Furman got it going under Nico Medved, and he just kind of stayed on. And he's 42 years old, 197 and 88. He's got that consistent record.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had a dip, you know, maybe like or the year after they went to the tournament and got to the second round, they slid back to 17 and 16, but the next year right back up 25 wins. This year, 16 and 7. Has a lot of head, you know, how many years? 3, 6, 9, 10 years head coaching experience. You know, there's a guy that looks like he's waiting for an opportunity, and you're getting him on the way up. And you know, so we'll see kind of how that would work. So there's guys right here in the region you could hire as well. So I'm not seeing Phil. Can you find if there's Alex Philpott news on the Big Spur or something like that?
I was just looking. I have not seen anything new. The latest, obviously, from Whittle today was he's supposed to go for scrimmage today, but I have not seen. I don't know.
Yeah, TD, tell me where you're seeing that he may be out for the year, because I'm sure I'm not quite. I'm not saying that's wrong. I just need to see.
No, I know there was a lot of assumptions being made over the weekend on the boards that he was just going to be out, but there has been no MRI to confirm any sort of injury right now was the latest that we were told from an official standpoint.
Yeah, I got mm-hmm. you. You know, hopefully he's fine. Obviously you don't want pitchers to start falling before the season happens. Jimmy says, I think Ray should have handed it over to Monty Lee because I think our coach is too old. OTD said the message board mafia. Yeah. Yeah, if Whittle said Philpott's good to go for the scrimmage today, he's probably good to go. I'll say that with the caveat as with injuries and things, especially with pitchers, because they, you know, you don't take any chances. Hmm. By the way, Quentin made it funny. He said, rehired Darren Horn.
I saw that.
Darren Horn 2.0.
Darren Horn.
He's back. And bringing the Garnet Army with him. But, TD says message board mafia. Yeah, those guys. The dudes out for the season. They're like the Bears super fans, but
right.
More negative. Yeah. They're like if the like Saturday Night Live characters, if like, Debbie Downer and the Bears super fans had a child and grew up to be a Gamecock fan. Some of them. And all right. So Alex Philpott, he was scratched for his scrimmage start today. He may have a cold like I have. He may have had a death in the family. He may have a class. Nobody knows. Yeah. Out for the year. That's out it. For the year.
Done.
Done. Dundee. Gone. Gandhi. But everybody thought McCoy was okay too. These pitchers are very, very, very sensitive. But yeah, as far as handing it over to Monty, I don't think they're going to talk about the board. I don't think the board of trustees is going to approve Monty Lee getting the job because he of Clemson, the Clemson thing. So, I mean,
even though members have their own ties to the,
but game. I mean, look, in fairness to Ray and Paul and the Palminari deal, I mean, South Carolina's hired coaches like Paul Maneri before. Holtz, Frank McGuire, Lou Holtz, yeah, Steve Spurrier, guys that have won elsewhere. It's that are kind of wanting the last hurrah. That's happened and worked well three different times in different sports. Now, they never done it in baseball, not with that program. And so, you know, every program's different and all that good stuff. But, I mean, obviously last year was a disaster. And then this year, you know, I wish I was a little bit more optimistic about this team. I know they went and spent, and I know their transfer portal class was rated, what, Phil? 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that?
Yeah, it was fairly highly rated.
So they should have players, but I saw, and I don't know who put it out. I mentioned this on Coffee, and I said I'd get into it today. And we can go ahead and get a final break in, and we'll come back, do some baseball. If anybody's got a football question, fire it at me in the ITG chat box. I'm dying to answer it because we're talking about other sports right now. But I saw where there was odds to get to Omaha, right? And South Carolina was 15th in the league at 75-1. Next closest one was 50-1. Missouri was 300-1. That means some odds maker somewhere thinks Carolina's 15th out of 16. And I've seen somebody from D1 baseball say that too.
Yeah, that's where D1 put the SEC rankings. Yep.
So some of the folks that are paid to do this aren't impressed. And I don't know. Maybe – I don't know, dude. I mean, we'll see what happens. Jimmy asked if they'll play a spring game. I'm leaning towards most likely not no spring game.
Doubt it.
TD mentioned football had a long snapper commit. Yeah, his last name's O-O-H.
Oh, yeah.
That's you never three, have too many long snappers. No, that's – well, if you count – no, they didn't have one in the high school class. Unless there's a walk-on. They had one in the last high school class.
The transfer.
And then you got the one from Western Carolina that's from Chicago.
Yeah.
And then you got this guy from high school ranks.
This guy, so,
he's a high school guy, so I don't know, man. I guess he's good. Three. I don't know.
I don't keep up with it.
Dude.
I know.
Shane Beamer.
I forgot to check out how tall he was. That was one thing.
You give Shane Beamer 105 scholarships, he's going to have some daggum options at long snapper.
There's going to be some special teams options on there.
Options at long snapper, dude. I remember one year Alabama took a long snapper. And we had this whole thing, snappers, kickers, punters. The best one was a low three-star because they're very hard to project. Alabama took a long snapper. My guy was like, look, I'm not being a homer, but this kid, if there's ever a four-star long snapper, it's him. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we just have a policy. We don't do this. We're rated in the highest. This guy was unbelievably good, dude. He was the best snapper I've ever seen. I mean, seriously, played all 4 years, won a couple national titles.
Right.
Just a baller long four-star snapper.
Four-star long snapper.
God. So, anyway. Don't forget D's Wings tomorrow night's Taco Tuesday. I may have tacos for lunch. I'm sick. You see, like a good meal when you're sick. Maybe get a little bag of tacos. That's a good idea. But anyway, got a certain thing about tacos. But anyway, D's Wings. Yeah, Taco Tuesday tomorrow night. 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29 on Wednesday. It's our favorite place. When we're in Columbia, D's Wings, proud sponsor of the show, the morning show, and all we do here at Chief Sports. Please tell your friends to follow at Gamecock Show on X. And if you're not doing it, I don't like you very much, but no, please do that. If you're on X trying to rebuild those social accounts, we should have an announcement on the next website, home of yours truly and many of my friends coming up. I don't know, can't put a date on it now, but should be soon. So if you want updates on that, let me know and follow at Gamecock Show. Back after this to wrap it up on a Monday, on Meatloaf Monday after this.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit WestLawFirmSC.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a Meatloaf Monday. Also, Groundhog Day. I heard that the Yankee Groundhog saw his shadow today. I don't know what happened to the one down here in, where is it, Mississippi, JC? They have an alternate Groundhog.
God, I didn't even know it was Groundhog Day.
I know, man. I didn't either. I just happened to hear it. That. I know.
I'm disappointed in myself. We'll celebrate tomorrow.
Yeah, we've been quoting Groundhog Day all weekend around here. Like, blizzard, this is just a couple of flakes.
Phil.
Yes, I know.
That's a great song. There's a lot of theory out there about that movie that it was like, it was actually lived in that town for 100 years. They're like, for him to get it down like that,
right,
there for 100 years. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, but
100 years,
that is wild. And, you know, and I was reading where Ferris Bueller is also, there's a fan theory saying that is a Groundhog Day also kind of a deal.
I've heard that. That's those guys that do those theories of things. It's like, it's crazy. We've played a couple on the show, like the Die Hard one about Carl Winslow.
Yes, there's another one out there that I want to play so bad, but it has language and inappropriate.
Yeah,
stuff. And there's like, a couple of them that I'm like, oh, that'd be so good.
About Patrick Swayze's characters from Dirty Dancing through Roadhouse to Point Break.
That's
it, it lines up great. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, probably. I don't think we've played that one yet, but he goes from. Yeah, it's just pretty good. So anyway, TD Doll says, what website will y'all be on next? Curious minds are wondering. I know it'll be called InsideTheGamecocks.com.
InsideTheGamecocks.com.
I can tell you the ITG brand and logo will be it. So I could say that, but I'll have some details for you. TD also added the number three long. O is the number three long time. Number three long snapper in the country.
Yeah.
Former Gamecock assistant Brian Jean Marie looks like he's probably headed to Notre Dame. Brian Jean Marie. He was here under Coach Holtz. And I just want to reiterate, too, thoughts and prayers to the Holtz family. You know, Skip Holtz is a good guy.
Yeah.
And Lou obviously was a legend. And I know, you know, you start thinking about the gap fight, the players we have on, Phil, on the regular. I know DeMarco and Garcia played for Spurrier. They were early-ish Spurrier era, early to mid-Spurrier era. But Strickland played for Holtz. Preston Thorne played for Coach Holtz. There's a lot. You know, Ryan Brewer Fence is one of our sponsors. He played for Coach Holtz. That era sort of lost Phil Petty in the last couple of years, too. So it's there's a lot of connections to that era.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Kimry, who we all know and love and admire, played for Coach Holtz. So that was right when the internet was – internet recruiting coverage was becoming a thing when Lou Holtz was the coach here. So it's, you know, we'll talk about that when the time is right. Obviously John Edward makes his return to the ITG chat box. Let's see if I can get through this without cussing him or wanting to choke him out.
Let's see. Yeah. We'll see.
Let's be clear. He starts with, let's be clear. Let's be clear. What,
man? That's like, come on.
Why did you start it like that?
Let's give it a chance. Let's be clear. Just as like, I know what I'm talking about, whether you like what I'm talking about or agree with what I'm talking about or not. Let us be clear.
Yeah. Okay,
Mom.
It's like the little Farquhar, Lord Farquhar.
I know, right? Listen, you don't have to assert yourself so hard. Why are you coming on so heavy, dude? It's all right. Just put your opinions out there in the universe like the rest of us.
Okay. Have to be normal. Like my wife says, be normal.
We might actually accept it a little better if you didn't, you know, assert the fact that yours was the only freaking one available. Anyway, proceed.
There needs to be a change in men's basketball head coach. Lamont has lost the team. He hasn't recruited well and whiffed in the portal. I mean, I can't argue with the roster construction. I mean, you just can't get guys that and say you're, you know, the plan is to shoot and you got guys that can't shoot consistently. Baseball needs to prove that they can be relevant during conference play. We are 2-for-2 in agreement.
Yeah, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Carolina men's basketball has always been a dumpster fire outside of the Final Four season. A fact-free take. Maybe in your lifetime, John Edward, but South Carolina won an SEC under Eddie Fogler, went back to the tournament the next year. George Felton took this program to the NCAA tournament. Frank McGuire had a powerhouse, but has it been consistent? No. And dumpster fire, maybe. A dumpster fire to me is like a program that can't get out of their own way. It just gets messier and messier and messier. Not a program that's necessarily restricted by this. And, you know, South Carolina isn't restricted by geography. I know the SEC is a tough conference now. It hasn't always been since not the conference. You know, South Carolina fans historically care a little more about basketball than maybe some other fan bases around the league. Columbia, South Carolina is a basketball hotbed. I mean, there are a lot of good players that come out of Columbia. The high school stuff is good. The state is good. And in basketball, that's not as relevant as football because basketball players don't stay at home. So it's been investment, alignment, and decisions, I think. And come on, John Edward, don't put political stuff in the ITG chat box. just because we respect all. Yeah, we don't get into it. I mean, I may agree with you a little bit there, but I'll probably be at Tavern. There'll probably be no show on Super Bowl Monday, by the way.
Why is that not a national holiday, right?
Yeah, I know. Everybody needs to be off. There will be no coffee. I've already made my reservations. Quentin says Point Break's a good movie about surfers and robbers. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, Point Break.
Really is a good movie.
I mean, it's just, and Keanu Reeves, who's grown on me as an actor, because I got kind of turned off by him because I thought he was like a perpetual, what was he, Bill or Ted? Ted, a perpetual Ted is what I called him. He did Much Ado About Nothing. And Denzel Washington was amazing in that. But I think he was the evil prince. He's like, art thou bro, dude, buh, bruh. But the John Wick movies and then finding out more about his life and like who he is as a person, Keanu Reeves, has made me like him a lot more. And in Point Break, it was perfect for Johnny Utah. He was amazing. Keanu Reeves is in Point Break, but was Swayze? Yes, Swayze was Bodie.
Yeah, Bodie.
Mm-hmm. Bodie. He was the antagonist, if you will. My man Tom Sizemore had a cameo in that one too. He was. Remember they rolled up on the Johnny Utah rolled up on the crack house or whatever, and Sizemore was, you know, I guess undercover, and he's like, "You see this, man? You see this?" And then another tour de force in Point Break was one Gary Busey.
Oh, I mean,
dude, Utah, give me two. I was taking shrapnel and caisson when.
Man, Busey, I hate he's falling off so hard, man. Just
Okay, so TD Noel brings up a good point about Frank Martin and John Morant, and this is another thing people are like, they kind of just, you know, Frank Martin did see how good John Morant was, and he was gonna, you know, Frank was like, nobody's offered him, he's committed to Murray State. Frank was later the only coach, the only team that was ahead of the game was Murray State. And Frank offered him. And they're like, nah, we're just gonna stick with Murray State. Frank offered him, I think, 8 months before signing day. Wanted him badly. So that kind of crap that happens, what you'd think would be in a normal world, would be a layup in basketball. I mean, dude, you had who was that cat that went to Murphy Holloway, really good basketball player, goes to Ole Miss, and there are some details there I'm fuzzy on, comes back, sits out for a year at South Carolina, and then goes back to Ole Miss. I mean, it's just been stuff like that. I mean, you do offer Ja Morant. You found him. You evaluated him. You did a job. No other high major school offered him, and he just sticks with Murray State.
What does that say? You know,
you don't have any help at all with,
right? Yeah, exactly.
There's no AAU coaches helping you. There's nobody helping you at all. Ain't nobody helping me, Phil.
Ain't nobody helping me.
Nobody helping me, man.
And if you're going to be the only guy on a team, you do that at a mid-major. You don't do that in a power conference.
Yeah.
I mean, how that went.
Would it have worked? I don't know. So. Jimmy says, I'm so ready to watch a good offense. Hadn't had one since Spurrier left, if you get down to it. Yeah, I think the closest was it's been in spurts. You know, I thought 2024 was good, not great, obviously. I thought 2018 kind of collapsed at the end, but was consistently pretty good. As long as Jake Bentley played a good game, which most of his games he played, he was pretty good. I mean, even – in that system, even Skarnecchia came in and led them to an improbable win. I thought that was a good deal. And then I don't know why football hasn't suffered like that as much as basketball. But the next year they changed things, and then it was Helinski, and you know the rest is history. But I hope it's my hope that Kendall Browse. You just think about it. You talk to football people, Phil, and it's like. the Browns offense with Lenora Sellers and they get excited. Right. Like really, really excited. I think Lenora Sellers has some work to do to get it mastered. I don't think it's going to be as steep of a climb as maybe it was in whatever they were asking him to master this past year. It's some basic stuff, but you with the RPO game, especially, you have to have the instincts to do it as a quarterback. And I think a lot of that, Phil, is reps, repping it over and over again, and also dialing them up in games. Lenore Sellers has proven since he's been here and been the quarterback that he's kind of a momentum player. You know, he can build off good performances and things like that. Didn't this past year, and I don't think that was on him. I think a lot of that was game plan and stuff like that. But I think that in this system, if he can get it going and get it down cold, like the things he has to operate the offense, because there's not that much. It's going to look like there's a lot formationally and motions and shifts, and they're going to go fast and things. But it's really the basic execution part of it is not, my understanding is it's not that difficult. That's why people complain about Browse developing quarterbacks for the league. And what I would say to that, Philip, is this. I don't give a damn. Because Lenore Sellers has already he's already played under two guys that were NFL coordinators that gave him a belly full of playing quarterback in the NFL for whatever reason.
Right.
It's time to go out and just perform. He can always go back to that stuff that Dowell Loggins taught him or that Mike Shula taught him when he gets to that level. It's time to go execute and get some confidence.
Yeah, he's ahead of the curve when it comes to being a rookie in the NFL because he's been a rookie in the NFL in 2 years in college, especially last year. Because like you very astutely pointed out early in this, he looks like and is operating like an NFL rookie quarterback. That's what it looked like. So, hey, he's already got that experience.
Yeah, I know. He's already been through what last year essentially was like a rookie year for him.
Yeah.
But it's time to get up and go and get it going for him. But I think RPO is on the quarterback. You have to count the box. You have to know when to throw it. You have to know when to fold it. You know when to fold them, know when to hold them.
That's right.
Know when to walk away, know when to run. You better count your money, Phil, when you're sitting at the table.
Yeah. Don't count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Yeah, don't. You never count
your money. Time enough for counting. That's right. When the dealing's done.
That's right. Good gracious. John Edward, no more excuses for Lenoris. They've totally rebuilt the offensive line. They've replaced. I don't know about.
When you look at the number of returning starters over the past few years, you can make an argument that they've been rebuilding the damn thing the whole time.
I'm not questioning the guys they've taken. I like all the guys they've taken, but it's five playing is one at that position. You know, you just don't know. You know, I do think there's no reason why Lenora Sellers can't thrive in this offense next season. So. That's good. Darren Usher will be on with Jamie Bradford on the morning show.
Confirmed tomorrow, 11 o'clock.
11 a.m. So top of the second hour of the morning show. And I just got another text message. My stepson, and I got one for myself too, ordered this Godzilla piggy bank. It's on its way. That's good to know. That's good to know.
All right.
On that Meatloaf Monday. Right. Darren Usher, Director of Player Personnel, will be on with JB tomorrow at 11. That's always a great conversation. So check that out.
Yeah.
Check that out. Jimmy says Sellers plays better when he plays fast. I agree. TD Noah mentions SEC Mike has Carolina going 7-5. I think it's fair when I looked at his wins and losses. You know, those games aren't going to hold up because nobody knows who's going to be good and who's not going to be good. A lot of it's based off this season and hope and all that. But I think they could do better than that. I don't know if Shane's gone or not. It kind of depends on And I know the self-proclamation that they'll be in the playoff in 2026 was bold. Bold. Very bold. I think 1,000,000,000% guaranteed, billion with a B. But I don't think that's going to be held against him. But we'll see what happens with all that. I don't like to put records on folks. I do think this. I think that it would be beneficial to everyone. Everyone involved with South Carolina athletics, if there was a pretty significant turnaround next year, like 4-8 to whatever, double digit wins.
Yeah, just double digit would be great.
Yeah.
10 would be massive.
Try to get there, you know, as best you can. And everybody says the schedule is tough now, but they were saying A&M's schedule was very, very tough last year at this time. I think Crawford picked them to go 6-6 because of the schedule. Because everybody thought Auburn will have their best team, and Florida will be in the play, will contend for the playoff, and you know, South Carolina will contend for the playoff. And they had all those teams on their schedule. Not a damn one of them was worth a toot until they got to Texas and they lost.
Right.
So Jimmy says Beamer's the right coach. He just has to get away from NFL OCs. And he says 9-3 will be the record next season. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I think 7-5 is fair for if you're SEC Mike and you get, I mean, credit SEC Mike for predicting every team win loss through their whole schedule and putting a graphic up on February 2nd. That's sticking it out on the table.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you're out there defending it, you know. Right. Yeah, no, dude. Here's why. Yeah, I got reasons. Here's my reasons. You may not agree with them, but hey, that's why we're here. Spark the conversation.
John Edwards says we're not going to really learn anything from the first two games. Not really. You'll learn some things about, is this guy fast? Can this guy catch? Yeah. Can this guy block? Because trust me, blocking wise, there's been some issues with bad offensive lines around here, not being able to block Wofford, South Carolina State, and you know, you don't want anything bad to happen. No, but are you going to be able to tell how they're going to match up against Mississippi State or Alabama, anybody else they play? No, probably
no. You'll be able to see if it's functioning operationally, but you will not know how it will compete.
But I think, given the fact, Phil, that every single year we've talked about under Shane Beamer that they need to get off to a good start, and then they inevitably don't.
Yeah.
Having those two games is a welcome development, because you could even struggle in them and just kind of get it right. It gives you something to coach off of. And I think having Mississippi State, I think SEC Mike said 3-9 for the Bulldogs next year. Even though he ranked Zach Arnett the number one. So the number one coordinator in the SEC is going to go, what, 3-9? Or was he the number three coordinator?
I think he was the number three. He was the number three.
Yeah, ahead of Clayton White. But I think having Mississippi State in that opener, you kind of ease into the schedule. Then you go to Tuscaloosa, and I'm sure they'll have a good team. But there's a lot of Alabama people that are a little nervous about next season. But TD Nelson says 30-3 will live with me forever in the pit of misery. The three games that live with me in my pit of misery since, let's go 18. Right, let's go
18. Yeah.
The 18 Florida game at the Swamp.
Oh my gosh, that one just still.
The 2023 Florida game at home. We're counting at a 10-point lead, and they're about to beat the Gators, and they should have. They were a better team than Florida, even as flawed as Carolina was.
You're fourth down behind the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden, winning the game.
That's one of the few times the defense has just let them down. Yeah. And then the 30-3 game. I'll say this. The Notre Dame bowl loss was a little hard to swallow, too, because they were winning. They were kicking their butt. And then I've had to throw a fifth one in there, Phillip. I'll throw in this year's Alabama game.
Oh, yeah.
That was – I mean, you know, think about South Carolina. South Carolina had Alabama beat at home when they were rolling and had an undefeated A&M team beat on the road. Lost both of them.
Yeah, shoot, I know. Buddy. Could not sustain any sort of offense. Buddy. We can only offense for so much of this game.
Yeah. So,
and then we're just going to stop.
All right. So hit the music. One more thing from John Edward, who behaved himself today.
That's right. Good
I will say this. Jimmy says it's our time to beat Bama. You do get the feeling. It's kind of like that Florida game in 2021 where Beamer's first game against Florida, where they just beat the crap out of him, because Carolina had just such bad luck almost, you know, with Florida the last few years in losing. And they finally hit for them. I think you get this, you kind of get the same feeling with Bama. I don't think your feeling is off base, but we'll see how we feel when we get to that time. It's time to let it all go on Meatloaf Monday.
Yeah.
And to wrap it up, John Edwards said, I criticize baseball because we have higher standards than what's been put on the field under Kingston and Maneri. Baseball has another bad season. Paul will be fired, as he should be.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to have a good
results or hit the road this year. It can't be anything in between.
Yeah. So hopefully, I
just worry that we're going to be seeing some football like scores coming out of these weekend series. That, and when they start getting up that high, it you know, makes anybody's game.
You don't have a really good team.
No.
If you can't pitch. All right. TD says, interested to see how Dez Umezulu plays at Bama. I think he'll be okay. We'll see. He'll either be a lot like he was at Carolina, or he'll take a step forward. We'll see. They're not loaded over there. They need him.
Yeah, that's right.
So, anyway. All right, so don't forget, Late Night Gamecock Show is up on podcast. Trey Kelly, who played on those NIT teams who I mentioned, was a special guest. It was a great conversation. That's up on Apple and Spotify. Go check it out. If you're on Apple, rate it 5 stars. It's the Late Night Gamecock Show with Matt Anderson and my boy, the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. Trey Kelly had a lot of good things to say. Also, SEC Sunday Night will be up on podcast as soon as I get it up, when we get off this show, as our podcast will also be up then. Sports Talk tonight, streaming live from 6 to 8 on the Chief Sports app. And then we do it all again tomorrow. Don't forget Darren Usher, Director of Football Director Player Personnel, will be on with JB at 11 a.m. So top of the second hour of Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show. For the Mad Dog, this is JC. Y'all have a great Meatloaf Monday. Celebrate with the meatloaf you love. I'll at you soon.